Our brother has spoken to us and challenged us as to the will of God. I want to follow that, bringing to our heart a challenge as to the work of God. Will you turn, please, to the prophecy of Zechariah? Zechariah, please, and chapter 2, and verse 1. Zechariah 2, verse 1. I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, Whither goest thou? And he said unto me, To measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. Behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, Run, speak to this young man, say, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle are in. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Now look over, please, to chapter 4, verse number 8. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? They shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. God will bless to us the public reading of his word. Run, speak to this young man. The work of God in Zechariah's day was at a standstill, had been at a standstill for 16 years. 16 wasted years. But there was in this situation a key man, and God spoke to that key man. That key man was Zerubbabel. Zechariah Haggai's ministry in the 24th day of the 9th month in the year 520 B.C. was directed to Zerubbabel to clear away his personal doubts, difficulties that filled his soul with dismay. Read Haggai's message. But now, 2 months later, in the 24th day of the 11th month, the same year, Zechariah is sent with a message to Zerubbabel. Run, it's urgent. Speak, it's personal. And speak to this young man. Now I present the message that Zechariah presented in two pictures. Picture number one is Zerubbabel with a measuring line in his hand. What are you going to do, Zerubbabel? I'm going to measure. What are you going to measure? Well, God has worked amongst his people. He's brought back a people out of Babylonia's condition 16 years before. He's brought them back to a place. I'm going to measure the place. He's brought a people back to that place. I'll count the people. Do a little measuring. I look not at the flesh, just at the people, but the purpose. What are they trying to do? What have they before their hearts? I'll do that. There's a danger with that, Zerubbabel. You recognize when you measure that small place, a tishpot. Count that few people, and they are few. And look at that purpose. It may not thrill your heart, what they're trying to do. There's a danger in that. And it's to counter that danger that the ministry of Zechariah is directed first to Zerubbabel. The second picture I would present is the purpose of the ministry of Zechariah. It begins with a man with a measuring line. It ends with the same man, Zerubbabel. He's got another line in his hand. What is this other line? It's a plummet line. Now what are you doing now, Zerubbabel? I'm building. I'm building in the purpose of God, amongst the people of God, on the plan of God. See that plummet line straight? I'm building according to that. Its construction is on my mind. You can see the ministry of Zechariah is to change a man and his thinking from criticism to construction. For Zerubbabel, a young man, to put his life work into this work for God is a vital matter at this particular time in the testimony for God. See the ministry of Zechariah in that light. And you see the first 8 chapters right over them. Construction of the sanctuary. The building of the temple. Construction of the sanctuary. Then the last chapters from 9 to 14 is the coming of the Savior. Two burdens present the coming of the Savior. The first burden, 9 to 12, indicates his coming as a shepherd, and he's sown, and he's slain. That's the first coming of Christ. The second coming is seen in the second burden that runs the last 3 chapters of Zechariah's ministry. It's the coming of the sovereign. So keep that division in mind. In the first section, the first 8 chapters, there are 8 visions. 8 visions centered upon Israel as the witness for God. The first 2 visions have to do with them historically. I'm not dealing with that. The last 2 visions have to deal with Israel prophetically. I'm not dealing with that. But the 4 visions, from 4 through to 6, tell us of a ministry that was for the heart of Zerubbabel. That Zerubbabel, maybe that measuring line still is his hand, but other factors will come in, and you can almost see him laying down the measuring line and picking up the plummet line. Criticism is changed to construction. He's now going to put his very life into the work of God as he sees the value of that. I challenge every heart here. It would be easy for me to challenge the young people, but I challenge all our hearts. Have we seen the value and the validity of assembly testimony for Christ in these closing days of the dispensation? Have we understood not only the vitality of it, but the value of it? And the picture closes in this side of the ministry, with 7 eyes upon Zerubbabel. Heaven is watching. Heaven is interested. This sanctuary is to be built for the Savior coming in testimony for God. Now ponder that, please. How many young people today look at that little company of believers? They measure the place. Insignificant compared with the magnificent structures in Christendom. And they're all around us. Is it worthwhile? They look at that handful of saints, people, and they count them up and see them growing older, getting fewer, and they look at the great companies joining in fellowships and denominations and so on around them, and they say, is it worthwhile? They see the great purposes that the people in Babylonia's conditions have, and the great schemes, and the great funds behind them. They look at a little assembly, with a few saints gathered, in testimony, and in weakness carrying on, and you can see the measuring line in their hand, as they say, is this worthwhile? Is this of any value in the world in which we live? That's the ministry of Zechariah, to correct such thinking. How does he do it? Well, in vision number 3, he focuses upon the place. And he says, Zerubbabel, that place is different. You were born in Babylon. That's the name Zerubbabel means. You were born in Babylon. You came back from Babylon to this place. What is it that makes this place different from another? And Zerubbabel, that measuring line in your hand, I don't mind you measuring Jerusalem. In chapter 1, here is the word that is said. Therefore, saith the Lord, I have returned to Jerusalem with mercies, and the line shall be stretched upon it. He doesn't mind you using the measuring line, but take into account factors that you cannot see. Factors that you cannot measure. Measure that place. Measure that people. Measure that purpose against the great structures that you left in Babylonia's conditions. Measure them. But there's something that you haven't recognized. That this is the place of divine choice. And you go down chapter 2. And you recognize the choice of God goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 12. A place, literal, geographic, where the Lord placed his name, the only place upon earth. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Where was it? In Jerusalem. And now the saints out of Babylon have come back to Jerusalem. And there they're gathered in testimony for him. And the Lord says, now, that's the very place of my choice. That's the place I have put my name there. And I never leave it. Now remember this. That's the place where I am in your midst. Run, speak to this young man. Take into account this factor. As he closes, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as a town without walls. Because, why is that? Because the Lord says, the multitude of men and cattle are in, for I said the Lord will be under her a wall of fire round about her. And will be the glory in the midst of her. It's his presence is there. His presence is there. That's the only place upon earth where he promised his presence. Jerusalem. My presence is there. Get a hold of it. Zerubbabel. That means that place outranks every other place. The Lord is there. That is repeated again as you move down the chapter. Verse number 10, for lo, I come and I will dwell in the midst of her. Glory about her, protection. Presence, I'll be in the midst of her. And then he speaks, I will dwell, in verse number 11, I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know the Lord of hosts. Here's the Lord's presence. Brethren, why do we gather as we do? Where two or three are gathered together unto my name. You recognize that? Where two or three are gathered together unto my name. composition, unto our gather together congregation, unto my name constitution. But here's what makes the character of it. There am I in the midst of them. You can't measure that. You can't evaluate that. That sets the assembly. You have no choice. If you want to gather where the Lord would have you, there's only one place. As there was one geographic and physical in the old, there's one spiritual and moral in the new, and it's to his name. And there the Lord has put his name. Is that why you're in the assembly? Because you like the people? Because you like their practices? Because you like their pursuit? No. You're there because he's there. Because the Lord is there. It's his presence that makes the place immeasurable. You can't put a measuring line on it. Take this into account, Zerubbabel. You leave down that measuring line. The Lord's presence is there. It's the place of divine choice. This is a singular place. There's no place like it. Are you prepared, Zerubbabel, to see it like that? And to put your efforts and exercise and energy into it? Well, that's number one. The next vision, number four, has to deal not just with the place, but with the people. You remember the Spirit of God exercised the saints to come back from Babylonia's condition. Brought them back, in the book of Ezra, to the place of divine choice. These are the people of divine call. He has called them out. And that's reflected in what is seen in the next vision. And the next vision is Joshua the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. And there's Satan opposing him, and he's objecting. And the Lord defends his people. As a brand plucked from the burning, they have been rescued from Babylonia's conditions and brought back onto divine ground. And here they are, and they're seen in the representative, Joshua the high priest. But there's something wrong. His garments there, filthy garments. And of course, that's what Satan is objecting to. How can you deal with these people? How can you use these people? How can you be among these people? And then you read the rest of the story, and you find that the garments are changed. They're cleansed. They're clothed. They're crowned. They're seen as priests in his presence. Those saints who are gathered to the place and brought into this new relationship. Of course, there were many priests in Babylon, but they weren't functioning, even Israeli priests. They couldn't function under Babylonian conditions. But the saints who came back under scriptural direction and gathered around the sanctuary, these saints had an exercise of heart and seen representatively in the person of Joshua is the priestly function of the people of God. You know, brethren and sisters, isn't there a truth in this for our hearts? That we not only gather to that special place, that unique place, that sacred place, his name. We gather under the Spirit's power, and we have been made, all of us, priests in his presence, because God has done a work in us by his grace, and we exercise a priesthood that can't be exercised under Babylonian conditions. In all Christendom that is around us, but here, in this place, a people acting as priests before him, clothed, changed, crowned in his very presence. And this is what he has to say. Set a fair mitre upon his head. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Lord of hosts, walk in my ways, if thou wilt keep my charge. Thou also shalt judge my house. There's authority in the things of God. Also judge my house, shall keep my courts, administration in the service of God. I will give places to walk among those that stand by. Access into his presence. My, it's a tremendous thing. to know I have been made a priest unto God. 1 Peter chapter 2. To whom coming? That's our coming to Christ as sinners. To whom coming? As unto a living stone. We also, as living stone, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices by our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's that offering of which our brother was speaking previously. That sacrifice that begins with the body and then flows from all that the body brings in offering through our Lord Jesus Christ in that priestly office as we have access to his presence. That's the second note that Zechariah has to strike. Is to show the singularity of the place. Is to show the spirituality of the people. These people coming back under spiritual direction of a spiritual exercise, and they have a place now to exercise that priesthood. And that's answers to what we have in the New Testament assembly. Priests, and have access into the holiest of all, and make our presentations. Those presentations, you link up the sacrifice which our brother began in Romans chapter 12. There it's my person. When you come to Hebrews 13 and 16, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. It's our praises rising to him. And then in Philippians chapter 4, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable unto God. It's our possessions. It's what we give and present to him. And we owe him all. What a privilege we have. Not only in the singularity of the place where we have gathered, but in the spirituality of the people, acting as priests before God. You can't measure that, Zerubbabel. You can't run a measuring line over that. And that is very precious to our God. But then the question might arise in the mind of Zerubbabel. That's all right. I've got the place clear. I've got the priesthood clear. I've got some other problem. Where's the power going to come from? How are we going to sustain this testimony? And the answer is from heaven through Zechariah. Not by might. That's not drawing upon military power. Not by might nor by power. That's not drawing upon political power. But by my spirit, saith the Lord. There's something different about this people gathered in this place. There's a power now about their testimony. And it's seen in the vision of the lampstand. Here's a lampstand that speaks of testimony on earth. Of course, in Exodus, it speaks of Christ personally. In the prophets, it speaks of Israel nationally. In the Revelation, from the Lord himself, the lampstand speaks of the church congregationally. In the district, the assembly bearing testimony for him. And note the features of that lampstand. Notice it's gold. That's his constitution. It's divine. You think of its oil. It's oil dependent. It's dependent upon that oil in the Old Testament for the lampstand in Israel. Israel had to bring the oil. And that bring the olives. Beat out the olives. That failed. But in this picture, you have the oil coming from the olive tree. The two olive trees speaking of Christ in his double office. Of priest and prince, in the very presence of God, linked directly to the lampstand, so that the oil flowed from him, him seen as a double vine tree, flowed to the testimony, and sustained and strengthened by the people of God. You can see the picture that Zerubbabel is faced with. You don't have this in Babylon. You haven't got that singularity of that place. You haven't got the spirituality of that people. You haven't got the sufficiency of the power. My brethren, we need to depend on that afresh today. That Spirit of God that gathers the saints to the name of the Lord Jesus. That's Matthew 18 and 20. The passive voice there indicates that there's a power, a person who gathers. We gather together. It's not we are, we gather together. It's our gather together. It's the Spirit of God at work. That same spirit is the spirit that gathers, is the spirit that raises up the overseer. Acts chapter 20, and you have Paul speaking to the elders at Ephesus, when he said, take heed to yourselves and to the little flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. There is the governing, those who govern in the assembly, raised up by the Spirit of God and equipped to meet every exigency of his service. And then you have it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You have, by the same Spirit, diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. So that little company is gifted, graced by the Spirit of God, as well as being gathered. And you can therefore put your very lifeblood into it and be assured the testimony will continue, despite the weakness, despite the weariness of some of us saints. There is that conscious dependence upon the Spirit of God in days when the light seems to grow very dim. Now, Zerubbabel, are you learning a lesson? Do you see the place standing out? Do you see the people standing out? Do you see the power that's available standing out? Now, are you prepared to lay down that measuring line? Are you prepared now to pick up the plummet line and begin to build, put something into it for God? I think the heart of Zerubbabel must have been stirred and moved, because he did begin to move. The result of this ministry is very positive. But there's one last point, and that's vision number six, that you have as you come into chapter 5. It's the vision of the flying roll. That flying roll that speaks of Scripture. It speaks of the size of it, 10 cubits by 20 cubits. The size of the holy place. That's in communion with God. It's the size of the porch in Solomon's temple. It's the character of the people of God representing the king. The two, both of them going together. And there is expected to be amongst the people, under the power of the Spirit, in that particular place, principles of Scripture, practices based on the principles of Scripture that reflect on the power of God to preserve and protect his people and make them different. The people in Jerusalem are expected to be different from the people in Babylon. And you can see that emerging as they recognize that the Scriptures are the governing authority and their lives and character begin to conform. You can see there's two sides to the flying scroll. There's one that deals with things of God. There's one that deals with things of man. And disobedience requires discipline. And that's the teaching of that little vision. To the heart of Zechariah, to the heart of Zerubbabel, these people are different in that they give Scripture its place. What a joy it is to look into the New Testament and see headship. We've had that mentioned already this afternoon. Headship, that's God getting his place. Where you have the short hair of the man, the long hair of the woman, the uncovered head of the man, the covered head of the woman. See it as reflecting principles and practices of Scripture. Lordship, gathering around the Lord's table, giving the Lord his place. That's the second note, giving Christ his place. The third note is worship. And thus you can see God getting his place. God getting his place. Christ getting his place. Then the Spirit getting his place. And the result is worship. The unbeliever or the unlearned coming in and taking their place at the back, they see God at work, and they fall down and worship God. Recognize that God is in you. You can see the building has resulted in consciousness, in the consciousness of the very presence of God, the sanctuary for himself, amongst his people, with the power of the Spirit present, and the principles of Scripture controlling and building character and a testimony for him. Now you can see, I trust, why Zechariah's ministry is so important. Taking that measuring line out of the hand of Zerubbabel. You still got it, brother or sister? That little place, that few people, that sort of blurred purpose and testimony, that's not like what we left in Christendom, is it not? Over against that, measure the immeasurable, the Lord's presence with his people. the priesthood of a saint, the power of the Spirit of God, and then the principles of Scripture reflected in the character and conduct. Are you ready this afternoon to lay down the measuring line? Take up the plumber's line. Begin to build in a scriptural place with a scriptural people, with spiritual power and the scriptural principles behind. A little verse comes to mind as I close. Lord, where shall I work today? And my love flowed warm and free. He pointed me out a tiny spot. Tend that for me. I answered him quickly, no, Lord. Not that little spot. Not that little place for me. Why, no one would ever see how well my work was done. Not that little place for me. He answered me tenderly. His words, they were not stern. He said, disciple, search that heart of thine. Are you working for them or me? Galilee was only a tiny, Nazareth was only a tiny spot. And so was Galilee. May the Lord bless his word.
We sang a verse of hymn number 5. And the verse we sang will be verse number 2. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Verse number 3 of hymn number 5, and we'll stand to sing.